We're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 1. I started teaching this with the men on Wednesday, but it's such a great book that I want to look at it again, or continue in it. We'll start with Ephesians chapter 1. If you need a copy, I do have them. I do have copies of it here. Would you like one? Okay. There's a single page there underneath that has just one verse on it, but it's the rest of the thing. It's all there. Anybody else need one? Well, let's open with a word of prayer, and we'll talk about this wonderful epistle about the church and to the church, written by the Apostle Paul under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. We thank you that in your wisdom you wrote it down, you had it written down by men, but it is indeed the Word of God. Each pen was guided, each heart, each mind was guided by the Holy Spirit to write down exactly the words of God. So we pray that we might enter into our heritage to know the Word of God and to have our eyes open again or even further to the riches that are in Jesus Christ. We know that all the wisdom of God is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you that though the world loves foolishness, you have called us out of the world to know your word and to revel in it, to eat it, to rest in it, to be carried along by it, to be fed by it, and to be blessed by it. So we thank you for this heavenly word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Did you want a copy?
I'm all
set. Asta?
Did you? I'll take a copy.
Okay, sure. They tell about years ago when the after the Civil War had come to a bloody climax and been settled that the slaves have been freed, the Emancipation Proclamation has been signed by Abraham Lincoln, and there were some slaves that had, they were treated kindly by their owners, in spite of all of the horrors of slavery. There were some owners who really treated their slaves, even though they accepted that system, which they shouldn't have, obviously, they still treated them well. And this one wealthy man told his one of his freed slaves, who continued to be his servant, and he still lived there and he still served him, but as a free man, he said, if you need money, if you have an emergency or something's going on, go to the bank, and they know me and they know you, and just ask them and they'll give you what you need. And so the owner of the plantation passed away, and as time went on, the slave got older and couldn't work, and so he needed money. So he went into the bank, and he would go in periodically, go in every 3 months and maybe ask for $5, and they'd cheerfully give it to him because they knew the arrangement. And finally, he went in one day and he asked for $5, and the banker came out and he said, I don't think you understand. Everything your master had is yours. He left it all to you. You can have it all right now. And of course he was amazed. He thought he was on some kind of a dole. You know, Christians, we think that way sometimes. You know, I just need a little help from God. And in Ephesians we see that everything is ours. It's all been given to us in Jesus Christ. We have everything. What we want is the Holy Spirit to open our eyes and our understanding to see what we have in Christ and to revel in it and to have our needs met and to be able to give to other people as well. So that's a little illustration of the wonders that Christ has given to us. I'm going to read some of Ephesians 1 and... One other thing, you know, the first commandment is, you shall have no other gods before me. Somebody said another way of saying that is, God saying, you shall have me. I like that. You shall have me. Everything is in God. Everything we have is come from God, whether we recognize it or not. Every person, no matter what situation they're in this morning, they have life because of God. They have food because of God. If they don't have food, if they don't have other things, they still have everything that's been provided by God. This is a sinful old world, and it's on its way out. There's a new order coming with a new world, with new people. And we are those new people. But right now, we can apprehend by faith what God has given us for the present, but also what he has in store in the future. I love the story of the prodigal son. You all know the story. He goes into the far country. My theory is that he watched the elder son go to work every day and come home every day, and it was a very dull life. All he saw was this guy work, and he seemed to have no imagination or anything, and the younger son said, I'm out of here. I want some fun. Okay, how many people want fun and they wind up wrecked? Amen? We know people who they live for fun, they live for pleasure, and meanwhile their family goes to hell and their life goes to hell, and they lose everything because they're trying to hang on to the pleasures of this world. So the prodigal son goes into the far country, and you know the story. He wasted all of the inheritance with prostitutes and partying, and he had lots of friends. Listen, we only know that because that's what the elder son said. Yeah, this one has come who wasted all your money out there. We don't know really what he did. Obviously, he didn't do good, but we don't know in detail exactly what he did. And so the prodigal son, the Bible says he came to himself. He came to himself. Here he is, a Jewish lad, and he's wound up feeding pigs. Now, you have to understand that he's not feeding them slop like we often think of, you know, feeding pigs, you're feeding them slop, and so he's trying to feed himself with that. He was actually feeding them eucalyptus pods. This is what they made sugar out of. And so these were sweet tasting, and he was feeding the pigs with the remnants of those things. So it reminds me that sin has pleasure for a moment. That sweetness, that's what holds people. They get a little excitement. Who doesn't want some excitement in their life, you know? But the greatest excitement is to know Jesus Christ is your Savior and to have him in your life, opening doors for you and getting to meet other people who know and love him. So he comes to himself and he says, you know what? That life that I fled back there doesn't look so bad now. Even my father's servants have got it better than I do. I'm going to go back to Dad. And he's, in his own mind, he's making up this big, long prayer about how he's repentant and all that. And you know the story. The father meets him and embraces him before he can even get it out that, you know, I've messed up, Dad. I've done this and I've done that. He can't even get it out. See, God sees the heart of the sinner coming back to him. I don't have to articulate every single sin that you ever did. The father's waiting to embrace. And the first thing he does is he calls for the best robe. And the best robe in the Bible is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And every sinner is wrapped in the righteousness of Christ, so they're acceptable to God. Okay? And then the ring of sonship, the gold ring. This is a reassurance that a person gets when they come back to God. Whether it's not clear in the Bible whether this prodigal wasn't saved or he was saved. He was a son of the father, so it's not really clear. But there's not much difference between a sinner coming back to God or coming to God for the first time and somebody who's wandered away coming back. Very, very similar reactions. And so, and then now the fatted calf. The fatted calf was kept for when a dignitary was coming through the area, you would have this fatted calf all prepared for this banquet. I like to say the only one that wasn't happy about the prodigal coming back was the fatted calf. But you see that there was kind of speaks of the sacrifice of Christ, that there was bloodshed. And so they're feasting on that, and they're having a party. And then the prodigal, the other son, the elder son, he really should be called the tale of two sons. The elder son is bitter and he's jealous. You never had a party for me. And the father says, son, this is the gist of what we're getting at here with Ephesians. Son, everything I have is yours. See, he didn't know. Neither son really knew the father. They didn't know how much the father loved them. And some people feel that the elder son really represents Israel. And God had this wonderful plan for Israel. He still does. It's going to work out. It's going to happen because it's on God for that to happen. But it's always been God's desire to bless Israel and to make them the light to the nations. And they have been, and they will be, and they're going to be blessed. All that I have is yours. The other thing is, the Bible tells us that God is jealous. Now, usually we think of jealousy as something bad. I don't really know why. Why shouldn't a man be jealous about his wife? I don't mean unreasonably so, but to the point I want her for myself. And this is the jealousy that God has for every believer. I want you for myself. I want you to keep faith with me. I want your heart to belong to me. So the Bible says that God is a jealous God, and he is working that out on the earth. He loves his people, and he's jealous for them. He doesn't want them worshiping idols, and that brought down on them the experienced wrath of God. Not the eternal wrath, but the experienced wrath of God came down on Israel because they went with these foreign countries. See, God always calls his people to be separate. He said, if you go with them, if you marry, if you intermingle, pretty soon you're going to be worshiping their gods. And guess what? That's exactly what happened. Israelites were actually offering their little children as burnt sacrifices on heathen idols. Another example of that is Solomon. Here's the man with the wisdom of God who acted like a fool. He didn't listen to the wisdom of God that he himself was writing down or he was collecting. Some of those proverbs were already in place, but he collected them. But he said, guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of life. If you let your heart get cold towards God, your feet are going to get cold. You're not going to be walking in the right place. You're going to be trying to warm your hands by the fire of the world like Peter did when he denied Jesus. You see that? So we need God. I need God as much today as I did before I ever knew him. And we need him. And the wonderful thing about Ephesians is that everything is there. Son, everything I have is yours. So having said that, let's read chapter 1 here of Ephesians, or at least parts of it here. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's always the order. It's grace first, and that brings peace. First of all, grace gives you peace with God, and as it works in your life, you have the peace of God. And those are two different things. So, first and foremost, you have peace from God. That's why Jesus comes. He came. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Listen, we're living on the earth, but we're heavenly people. We're citizens of heaven already. The Bible says that God sees us as seated in Christ Jesus already, victors, because he's put us there. And the more we keep that heavenly vision, the more it's going to impact our lives now. Where we too crave God, just as he craves us, he wants us to be fully consumed with him. And that is going to be reflected in us. So he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Now, what did he choose us for? That we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. I like to say that Paul is a king of run-on sentences. But there's something about it that when he gets in that flow, you got to keep going with those thoughts. But each one is a thought unto itself, and they're connected, and they're caught in that flow of the Holy Spirit opening these truths to us. So you have to see here, it says that we were predestined to adoption as sons by Christ Jesus himself. What does it mean to be adopted? Isn't it enough to be born again? What is this adoption thing? Well, here's what happened in that time when the Romans controlled most of the known world. A Roman citizen could adopt a slave. Say that somebody grew up in his family as a servant, and he loved the son, and so he said, I'm going to adopt the son. And he would bring him out in a public ceremony of a certain age and announce to everyone, it was a public ceremony, this is my son, and he has full rights as my son, even though he's adopted. That was the adoption ceremony. Listen, this is going to happen to every one of us who are Christians. One day, Christ is going to bring us out before all of creation and say, these are mine. These are mine. These are my people. And that's what this adoption means. It has nothing to do with your initial, well, it does have everything to do with it, but it's not the same as being born again. It's a ceremony. So when he says you're predestined to that, it doesn't mean that people were chosen to be saved, as the Calvinists love to teach us. They're incorrect in that, and we're going to prove that as we go on. But more than them being incorrect, we want to be correct with the Scripture. You want to see what God has done here. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Now, how did he do that? He did that by foreknowledge. He knew everyone who would believe. That doesn't mean that they went through some special process that wasn't available to every sinner. God has called every sinner to come to him. And if God has called every sinner to come to him, and he's saying to some people, you can't come, then he's working against himself. And Jesus said that with Satan, you know, they accused Jesus of doing his works by demons. And Jesus said, any kingdom that is working against itself cannot stand. God is not saying, everybody come to me, but not you. I've secretly chosen not to choose you. That's incorrect. That's totally wrong. God has called every sinner to come to him. And so he chose us in him because by foreknowledge, he knew every person that would believe. And this enabled him to choose us to have all the rest of these things that he's given us. Before that we should be holy. He's chosen us, predestined us to be holy. What does holy mean? It means set apart for God's use. It's another word for that is sanctification. Okay? Now in Hebrews it says that he died once and for all and sanctified us forever. See, that's positional. But with us, it's being worked out day by day. We should be growing closer to God. We should be allowing sanctification process to make us more holy. Well, what does that mean? Well, we're better than other people? No, not by any means. But we recognize more and more what God has done in our lives, and we more and more yield to him. We understand that we've got an enemy within that we need to fight all the time. We have an enemy without. We need to fight him all the time, and all by the grace of God. So he's predestined us to this wonderful adoption, this public ceremony to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. See, God does whatever he wants. And his will is that everyone would be saved. Everyone would be with him. He loves the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now, if you go against that, you're not doing what God called you to do. He called you to trust him, to believe in him, and to know him. And that's to the praise of the glory of his grace. Why are we praising his grace? Because that's how we get saved. You know. Listen, if we have to earn it, I'm checking in now, okay? It's by the grace of God. Who could pay Jesus to go to the cross? Who could be worthy of Jesus going to the cross and taking away our sin? I hope you see it that way today, that all your sin was paid for at that cross. And we want the Holy Spirit to remind us of that and to refresh us in that, because that's the joy of the Lord. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. If you're always thinking about how awful you are and how you screwed up here and you messed up there, you're not going to progress. You need to keep seeing Jesus. He's a transforming one. As you see him by faith, he transforms us. And you see yourself as God sees you. And you see that I don't care how many times I've fallen, I've been falling in the right direction by the grace of God. And we want to keep on going for Him. So it's to the praise of the glory of His grace by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. You know, when Jacob went in before Isaac, he's wearing the robe of the elder son. He's got this furry goatskins, which indicates there was bloodshed. Okay? And he comes in, and Isaac even says, it's the voice of Jacob, but has the smell of my son, has my son Esau, because he's wearing that robe. It smells like it's a beautiful, descriptive, poetic way of saying it, but it smells like a field that's been mown, and the rain has fallen on it, has a scent to it. See, Jesus is a sweet aroma to God that takes away the stink of our sin. And we're covered in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And we come in before Isaac, who is blind to who it really is. You see, people miss this. Oh, he lied. He lied. You know, that Jacob, he lied. You know who lied was Esau. He said, Jacob stole my blessing. No, that wasn't true. He sold it because he had no regard for it. It tells us that in Hebrews 12 that he despised his birthright. Listen, no birthright, no blessing. As a born-again person, you are eligible for the blessing. And you come in before the Father, and you're blessed because of another one. You see that? This is what grace is all about. Say, oh, you don't know me, Dennis. Yeah, I know, you're pretty horrible, right? But you're covered in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And as you walk in that, as you continue to believe that, it's worked out in your life. So as to the praise of the glory of His grace by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. By the way, they often overlook this, the commentaries. But the reason that Jacob was emboldened to go in and to risk everything before his father, because he said to his mother, if he finds out it's me, he'll curse me instead of blessing me. And you see, Isaac had that authority under God because he was the priest in the home. And he could have cursed Jacob. And that's what Jacob was afraid of. And what did the mother say? Let the curse fall on me. She's the only one who really knew what was going on here. Isaac didn't know. Esau was certainly unaware. And Jacob was kind of fumbling around. But she's a picture of the Holy Spirit. Get in there and get blessed. Time is running out. You have to go in now and be blessed because Esau's off getting some food for the father to get the blessing, and he's trying to steal the birthright. The birthright belongs to Jacob, and the only one who really knew that was Rebekah because God told her. When the two boys were fighting in her womb, remember they were twins, and it was unusual activity, and she said to God, what's up with this? She's asked him, what's going on? There are two nations in your womb. Now, if you're pregnant and you hear there's two nations in your womb, you might be a little concerned, right? But the idea is they represent two different nations. And God says the elder will serve the younger, which was the reversal. You see, this is what grace always does. It reverses. The sinner is now the blessed. You see that? So the elder will serve the younger. That's not the way it was natural in the Jewish culture. The eldest son, just like in our story about the prodigal, he got the land. That was a given. But everybody else divided up the liquid assets. And that's why the prodigal son said, give me my inheritance now. And so he took the money and he wasted it. Okay, but you see what's going on here. She's the only one that knows. She can't confide in Isaac anymore because he's gone into sensuality. He's still God's man, but he keeps saying, you know, I'm going to die pretty soon. You know, he was losing his eyesight. He hung around in the tent all the time. You know, and he kind of lived vicariously through Esau, who was a hunter and a guy with a gun rack in the pickup truck window, you know. They kind of lived vicariously through him, all right? And so he didn't have too much respect, apparently, for Jacob, who, by the way, was a quiet man who dwelt in tents. See, this is an implication of wisdom here. Think. That's what it means. Be quiet. Shut up. Turn off the TV. Stop reading your secular books and get into the Word of God and let God speak to you. This is why Jacob, who's, you know, he's a sinner just like everybody else, but he sees where the real wealth is. He knows the heritage of Abraham. He knows the promises made to Abraham. I want to be a part of that. I don't want to miss out. Okay? And so he, when he sees his opportunity, he says to Esau, who's starving. It sounds like a teenager, doesn't it? I'm starving! I'm going to die if you don't feed me right now! And see, that's a picture of your lust being satisfied right now and missing out on eternal things. This is what lust does. It happened to be food, okay? I got that. But that's what it's a real picture of. I want it now. I want to eat it now. And so Jacob takes advantage of that. He didn't plan this. It was just, this is what he wanted. He wanted that birthright. By the way, in Hebrews 12, it says that Esau despised his birthright. Listen, you may not know this, but some of you despise the Word of God. Oh, what are you talking about? I'm a Christian. Well, if you're not continuing in the Word of God, and you want to know everything that the Word of God is saying, and I'm talking about prophecy, I'm talking about history, I'm talking about right now. If you don't, you are despising the Word of God, because despise and neglect are the same thing in God's eyes. If you're not listening to God, if you're not pursuing this Bible on your own, okay, use commentaries, hear preaching and all of that, but you say, God, I want you to speak to me, okay? And then check it out. Don't go off on some tangent. Oh, God told me, I had a vision that, if you dress in pink polka dots, that you'll be blessed. No, don't do this crazy stuff. Check it out with the Word of God. Does it really say this? Okay. And then check with other believers and leaders and teachers and that kind of thing. See, a lot of people think that it's just me and God, you know. I've met guys like that. I've met a guy who came from the West Coast, came out here to start a church. Well, God told me to come out here and start a church. Well, I believed him. I believe he was very sincere. But you know what? It was just him and God. He didn't listen to anybody. Didn't read commentaries, you know. We're going to start a church. God spoke to me. I don't doubt it. I believe God's spoken to every person in this room, okay? But you want to keep on hearing what he's saying. Keep on hearing it. Keep on checking it out. Is this really it? Did you have a question? Okay. Sorry about that. But, okay, so this is what we want to see with this whole thing, that everything's been given to us. Blessed, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. You know the tragedy of the church, the tragedy of any Christian life, and there are tragedies in the Christian life. There are tragedies in the Christian life where people don't go on for whatever reason. Whatever reason. No reason is good enough. No reason is good enough. You can find your situation in the Bible and you can see how God rectified it. Here's this guy eating with pigs. He's a Jewish son. You're not supposed to even be near pigs, let alone feed them. And he comes to himself. You know what? It's better with my Father. Even though it didn't look too attractive to me, it's looking a lot more attractive now. It's more attractive to obey than to disobey. Okay? So God wants you to move on. He wants you to keep on growing. And when you put the brakes on and say, no, I don't want to go there because I'm embarrassed, you know, you're embarrassing your Father. He wants you to go out there. He wants you to grow and he wants you to do things for him. Doesn't matter who you are. The Holy Spirit is not selective about what body type he goes into. He's not selective about whether you're handsome or whether you're old or whether you're new. When the Holy Spirit is in you, it doesn't matter. okay? And God can use any person who will say, I want to be used. Lord, let me get rid of the roadblock. I've come this far, okay, but this is it, God, for me. You know, I don't have this, and I don't have that. Who does have it? The Holy Spirit has it. Whatever you don't have, He can provide, and He can open the door for you to serve. You know, Jesus said to the unbelievers in the Jewish nation, so you're like, you're standing in the doorway, and you're not coming in, but not only that, you're blocking someone else from coming in. And if you're not going ahead, if you're not developing in your Christian life, you're blocking somebody else, because somebody else respects you, believe it or not. And say, oh, well, that guy, you know. And I came from another church, all right? And I've seen it happen time and time again. Guy comes in, he's saved. He's excited. He doesn't really know what you're supposed to do now, okay? So he's excited. So he's looking around, looking for role models. And he sees Joe Jones over here, who for 40 years has been faithful. He picks up the offering every Sunday. Oh, hallelujah! This is a nice, safe place. I'll be like Joe Jones. And guess what? The fervor, the zeal, the awakening of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit is nullified in your life. You have an example, and His name is Jesus Christ. You also have another example that God gave us, and that's the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul is just as much a sinner as anyone else. He shows us how you live with an old nature that's trying to take over your life constantly. And he shows you through the power of the Spirit and the understanding that the Word of God gives you that you can nullify that and you can be led by the Holy Spirit. What you want more than anything else, I hope as a believer, I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. I want to have the freedom to speak God's Word wherever I am. Wherever I am. And to act like that. You know, here's the thing. In James it says that your tongue is like the rudder of a great ship. And he's using it in kind of a negative way. So if you say nasty things and so forth, you're going to be on the rocks. I want to say this to you. And this is not word of faith. But if you are saying what God says, if you are believing this word and you're saying what God says in your own heart, that's going to steer your ship in the right way. You're going to miss the rocks. And you're going to stay in the channel. And if I can bring the analogy even further, you're going to rescue a few other people too. Okay? We want to be filled and led by the Holy Spirit. Filled and led by the Holy Spirit. And Paul is telling us everything is in Jesus Christ. And that He has provided all these things for us. And He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy without blame before Him, having predestined us to adoption. Now, understand blameless in the Bible is not the same as sinless. It's not the same as sinless. Sinless is a domain of Jesus Christ, okay? But in Jesus Christ, God sees us as sinless. That's how He sees us because, again, we're wrapped in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You know that when Jesus was on the cross, that they took His tunic and they cast lots for it. That was a prophecy. See how detailed the prophecy is? They cast lots for my garment. Well, the reason they did that was if they tried to separate it and, here, you take the top and I'll take the bottom, the whole thing would unravel. It was clothing was very expensive in those days because it was all handmade. Okay, so they cast lots for it. There's a question about whether Jesus was actually naked on the cross. Okay, we do know this. He didn't wear the tunic. I like to think He left that there for any old sinner to come along and pick it up and be accepted in the Beloved because He provided that. He hung before God with a naked body and a naked soul, taking what you and I deserve. Once and for all, amen? It is finished. Don't let anyone add to that. Oh, you got to be baptized. No, you don't. Abraham's in heaven. He didn't get baptized. Oh, you got to be circumcised. No, Abraham was saved before he was circumcised. Romans 4, okay? It's by faith. Trust God that you're acceptable right now because of what Jesus did. and he wants to pour out this blessing on you. But if you're saying, no, 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 you know, I don't want to grow, 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 you are not going to grow, grow, grow. In fact, you're going to regress, probably. You're going to be back to being satisfied with picking up the offering every Sunday. Now, somebody's got to do that, okay? They won't let me because they don't trust me, but, you know. Somebody's got to do that. Somebody's got to clean the floor, and somebody's got to do this and that and whatever. And God will put you in the place that he wants you in the church. But you need to keep on developing in your spiritual life. And how are you going to do that without the input of the Word of God? And if you keep thinking, I'm not worthy, when God says, you are worthy, you're not going to sit down and eat. Okay? You're not going to partake of this wonderful thing that he has for us. I think that God cannot, I don't know if you could ever say God can't wait, like he's impatient, but I think he's eager to bring out the sons of God before the whole creation. And all the angels are going to marvel that God would love sinners and change them and make them into new people. Yes.
I have a question. Now God made everything, and everything is good.
So, it was.
Well, it started out good.
That's right, yeah.
What he made. He's the only one that has the right to be proud of what he did.
I would say that's exactly right. Yeah.
No one else has that right.
Yeah, yeah. Our boast is in our Lord. So we can be proud of our Lord. And I know what you're saying, yeah, yeah. But at the same time, we don't want to carry humility too far. Nothing. Anybody remember Uriah Heep from Shakespeare? Never heard of him? He was always self-effacing. He was no good. He was a crooked lawyer is what he was.
I thought yeah. It was Chelsea.
And he kept up this facade of, I'm so humble, okay? But God's people are supposed to be bold and walk in there because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The righteous is as bold as a lion. What is bolder than to come right into the presence of God? Okay. Who would dare to do that, thinking right, unless they're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ? All right, let's go on a little bit. Verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood. See, we already have that. That's something you can't lose. That's why the prodigal son, if he represents a believer there, that's why he could come home. He had not lost that. Redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. God didn't do this rashly. He thought it out and how it would best work and how, see, the thing is, God has got to, he needs to, in his own thinking, he has to forgive sinners, but he has to remain righteous himself. He's not a God who can be bribed. He's not a God who's going to forgive that which, can't be forgiven or isn't in the right idea. So as soon as you trust Jesus Christ, because he's righteous, there's a righteous forgiveness, if I may use that term. He is righteous. And David said, after causing the death of Uriah, committing adultery with Bathsheba, he says, against you, God, and you only have I sinned. You see, every sin is initially against God. Does it have ramifications for other people? Absolutely. Ask Uriah. It cost him his life. But initially, it's against God. So who can forgive sins but God only? You see that? And if he forgives you and somebody you're involved with doesn't forgive you, God's forgiveness still stands. God's forgiveness still stands. This is a wonderful giver. And, you know, with us believers, we should understand this. We're not just forgiven. We died with Jesus on the cross. And now we're new creatures in Christ, and we can take this new heavenly food, and we can walk in the power of the Spirit, and we can do things we never thought we could do by the grace of God. Okay? So the idea is keep on seeing Jesus. You know, it tells us in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4 that we see the glory of God in the face of Jesus. When's the last time you saw Jesus? When's the last time you felt his presence? Well, you're not supposed to feel anything. forgot, we're Baptists. Well, I am. But anyway, you know, the Pentecostals, they're all about feeling. Okay? And God bless them. I love Pentecostals. I like to be around, catch their spirit, and then go use it some... No. No, seriously speaking, some Pentecostals are very sweet. They love Jesus. I got that. But you know what? You need to keep on going and understand. Okay? Psalm 27, here's a little breakdown for you. David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord. And then he broke it down into three things. He's a preacher, okay? What he said was, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. First and foremost, he wanted security. That's what God gives you. When he gives you his word, you have security. What did David say? I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is what he wanted. So number one is security, okay? Oh, let's put it this way. Let's make it A, B, C. A, he got assurance. I want assurance, okay? When you come to the Bible, it gives you assurance that you're going to be with him forever. You don't deserve that, Ed. How can you claim such assurance? Because of Jesus Christ, right? Okay, so number one, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's assurance. Letter B is behold. I want to behold the beauty of the Lord. I think every believer here has probably had that experience where you're reading the Word of God and all of a sudden your eyes fill up with tears because you're beholding the beauty of the Lord. But see, here's the danger here, okay? Some people are always pursuing that. I think this is where the Pentecostals make an error, okay? They always want to be beholding the beauty of the Lord. But there's another one, and C is counsel. What am I supposed to do now? Now that I have assurance, now that I've seen the beauty of the Lord, what am I supposed to do? That's what the Word of God does. It gives you counsel, okay? In other words, David said, and to inquire of the Lord. If you get somebody who's inquiring, you know that they're paying attention and they want to know more. That's how you and I should be when we come to the Word of God. Say, oh, Dennis, you know the Word of God pretty good. You know, there's tons of stuff in there I don't know. This is unending well of knowledge and beauty and all those good things. So ABC, assurance, behold the beauty of the Lord, and counsel. Are you listening to the counsel of God? God wants you to overcome through the power of the Spirit and do things that you thought you couldn't do and do them in spite of other people and do them because God wants you to do them, not necessarily everybody else approves of it. That counsel, don't forget, it says that in abundance of counselors, there is wisdom, okay, and there's safety. So this means, what does the Bible say everywhere about these things? Not just one isolated verse that you're going to build your life on. You see that? A, B, C. All right? Can we go to that again? Assurance. I want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. A lot of people need to be reassured. They've gotten in dry dock. Or they're up on the rocks. Need to get back in the flow, right? Just admit it. God will, you know, it's like starting over again. He doesn't mind restarting. He can do that, okay? And then B is behold. I want to behold the beauty of the Lord. That's why I like that. I know the Gospel of John pretty well and the Gospel of Luke pretty well, but I like to read through it again. I love those stories. There's a funeral going on. Jesus says, hold it! Just a minute. I got something to say about this funeral. Young man, get up and live. Go back to your mother. Woo! I'm telling you, this is a good God. Jesus was moved with compassion, okay? We knew he was doing the will of God, but he was moved with compassion. I love those stories, don't you? Little woman with the issue of blood. You know, she's been going to doctor after doctor. No hope. She's got an issue of blood. All her money's gone. One last thing. I'm just going to touch the hem of his garment, and I'm going to get back in the crowd. Her whole life changed. She touched that, and an electric current went from Jesus to her. Jesus said, who touched me? I felt virtue. I felt power go out from me. And then the woman comes. She saw that she wasn't hidden. See, people try to hide in the church. You ever notice that?
They try to hide.
Oh, I make the food. That's my position in the church.
No, it isn't.
It's a temporary position. Your position in the church is given you by Jesus Christ. And so they get in an isolated place and, oh, this is me. This is what I do. No. You're called to much more than that, okay? Jesus lays a hold of her and brings her forth. And she, trembling, seeing that she's not hidden, she falls on her knees and she tells everybody the whole testimony. Don't you think people were helped by her testimony? Even though she's trembling, even though she's nervous. Listen, when Paul went into Corinth and he's preaching the gospel, he said, I trembled greatly. But he gave the message anyway, and people got saved. Listen, God can do much more than we're allowing him to do. Amen? That's in my life. That's in your life. Will you agree? God can do much more than he's doing in your life right now. So who's blocking him? I'll leave it to you to figure that one out. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the truth of the Word of God. We thank you for the Spirit of God. We pray that the Spirit of God would have free course in this church, that we would love one another with the love of God, that we would speak the truth to one another with the love of God, that we would pray for one another with the love of God, and Lord, that we would have that deep, intimate fellowship with you that is so sweet, that no one else, it seems, can experience that with us. We want that with you, Lord, and we pray for the service to come, that people will be blessed. For we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.